Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Another beautiful day here at the cafe. I mean, it really is nice outside. Amen. It's a sunny day and the birds are chirping. Amen. The sun's a shining. I got a good cup of coffee. I got my Matthew mug here, Matthew 11:28, and it says, "I will give you rest." Love this mug. It's kind of got a beach theme to it. I had just enough coffee beans in the hopper to make a coffee. That was it. And I said, just walking up the stairs, thank God for his provision, for his providence, that, you know, like, he knows typically on Fridays, because of the way my schedule works, I end up in the evening time at the grocery because I have to run an errand before that. So God knew how to make it last. It's just amazing how good God is. Amen. And when we look at the little things in our life, we realize they're not a coincidence, but they're by God's great favor and love and providence. And we should give him the glory for all things. He deserves the glory. Amen. He deserves the praise. And that's what we're going to do here today. We're actually going to pass through a lot of Genesis 7 here. We might get through the whole chapter. Time will tell. But let's start here where we're picking up in Genesis 7. And I think we're on verse 17, if I'm correct. Okay, so remember 16, God shut him in, right? 17 here. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. All right, we're going to take a break and we're going to tackle that verse when we come back from this break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, so here in this verse, in verse 17 of Genesis 7, you may be saying, okay, I get it. You know, the flood came and the boat went up, the ark went up. But what we see here is that God, number one, was faithful to his word, right? Like, he said he was going to flood the earth. We see in 16, Genesis 7, 16, the Lord shuts them in. And in 17, God's faithful to then bear up that ark, right? That, like, God wasn't like, okay, I changed my mind, you guys are going to drown too, I'm going to give you a faulty boat, right? And think about how much is faulty in this world. I mean, think about, this world is full of examples of stuff that doesn't work right. You know, my wife and I are both overthinkers, we call it, overanalyzers. She actually, like, for work is an analyst, so maybe that's her excuse, but I don't have one. We're overthinkers. You know, we've been overthinking a camper for as long as we've been married, you know, which is over a decade. You know, we've been thinking, oh, what about this? What about that? And the one reason, besides cost, one reason why we've never jumped in and bought a camper is because, if anyone that's owned a camper knows, oftentimes they break. They're faulty, you know. Goodness, we've rented some campers. They'll have these little sliding doors, these little mirrors, the little storm doors, and these things just seem to, like, just break at the moment's notice. And if you know me, I'm a big guy, amen. I carry my weight. So if I'm stepping in, I'll probably be damaging the floor. If I'm pulling on something to get up, I might hurt the railing. In this life, and I'm not picking on RVs, one day, Lord willing, if Lord's will, we'll have one. But in this life, things are faulty, like the RV. The ship could have been faulty. It was man-made. This is the greatest flood the world's ever seen. And yet God was faithful. It says here in 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. Verse 18 says, the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. Wow. And so we see here that in 17 and 18, that this boat was rock solid. This ark was going to stand the ultimate test, the ultimate survival test. In fact, it was the only thing, I don't know a better word than that, vessel, that was going to withstand God's judgment that day and those days. And this was the only way that man would be saved. And it was preceded by man having to believe God at his word, right? And so we touch upon having faith in God, right? Believing God at his word. So Noah was faithful and God was faithful, right? We see Lamentations 3, 22 through 23, one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite hymns that was written off this verse. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And how true is that with Noah? I mean, you know, God's flooding the earth. How many times have you seen a movie or something and the actor is mad and he's going to not do something, but he does it because he says, change of plans, you know. People's wrath gets a hold of him, and God's mercy and compassion was upon Noah. And that's by God's mercy he was not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Think about how hard it would have been for God to come that close to wiping out sinful humanity, but not wiping out sinful humanity. Because God, being perfect in his knowledge, think about this, knew what was to come. He knew about the wickedness that was to come. He knew about the Tower of Babel, of all the pagan idolatry, of the sacrificing children to these pagan gods like Molech in the fire. He knew about even modern day, paganism and the killing of babies through abortion. That's what I was thinking of. He knew about the great rebellion that man would have. He knew about all those things, and he could have just wiped them out, right? He knew that, hey, Jesus would have to suffer greatly after the flood. But, you know, he still said, you know what? I love you. I care about you. You have been seen righteous before me. You have believed me. You and your wife, your kids, and your kids' wives are the only ones that believe me to get on that ark. I'm going to save you. That ark is going to go up upon the waters, and I'll save you. And this brings up another important principle when dealing with God. God is really big, I believe, on letting your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And we have in Matthew 5, that's the Beatitudes, where Jesus gets up there and says to the multitudes, including the disciples, blessed be, blessed be. And these blesseds were often contrary to what the Israelites had learned to that point. You know, it's like, about things about divorcement, things about loving your enemy, loving your neighbor. And one of those things was don't make any pledges, like don't swear to God, okay? And if you ever hear Christians say don't swear to God, that's where it comes from typically, I think, Matthew 5, 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. And that is Jesus speaking. And what he's saying is anything more than saying yes or no is something evil, devilish, conniving. So we don't want to swear on things, okay? And so just say yes. Noah said, yes, God, I believe you. And that principle played out as he was rescued, him and his family and the animals, on the ark. And if you zoom out a little bit, what is this? This is the idea of obedience equal blessings and disobedience equals curses or really bad things, right? So think of it very simply. You have a world full of billions of people prior to the flood, a very advanced civilization, as I believe it was. So you could imagine maybe our society or even more advanced. I mean, don't sell it short. You have no idea what was going on back then, but I would say an advanced society. And you have Noah and you have all of these people. And Noah believed and he was blessed for believing. And all the people that didn't believe died a horrible, horrific, sudden death. You could see somebody getting ready, like you could see a dad getting ready to give his daughter away at the wedding ceremony, or the daughter getting ready to be married. She thinks it's the happiest day of her life, and nothing's going to get in the way of that happy day. And the water starts to come, and it comes fast and furious. And that's got to, I mean, literally, it's like you go through it like the most terrifying situation and die. Why? Because you were disobedient. What happened to Noah? Why did he live? Because he was obedient. He was faithful. See, faithfulness results in obedience. John 14, 15, another statement of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love Jesus, keep his commandments. Now, that isn't to be saved. To be saved, we are to believe on Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right? That's salvation. So we're not under the law. But if we love him, we should keep his commandments. If you tell me you love me and you break every kind of rule that I've ever had in my household, I will say to you, I don't think you love me very much. Because if you did, you wouldn't do that. How much more so when we tell Jesus that we love him or that he's Savior, and we go out and live in abject sin and don't even want to bother to learn about his ways or how a reproach we are living and hurting and grieving the Holy Spirit. Do we really love him? John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Noah loved God. He wasn't perfect, but he loved God. He was obedient to God. The negative side of this would be James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So let's take Noah's example as a perfect example for James 1:22. Why you need to be a doer of the word. People will pick apart scripture like this because they are saying, no. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Don't worry about anything, you know? Okay, well, if you said that, and you say, I'm not under the law, I don't need to be dealing with this, and I know we're talking about Old Testament times before the earthly ministry of Jesus, etc. But if we're just taking a minute here, if the people that had ignored Noah through the 100 years of him building the biggest boat that I'm surely they'd ever seen, if those people had listened to him and not only listened to him, but did what he said, repent, and got on that ship, they would be saved. But because they were hearers of the word and not doers, remember Noah's called a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching to them saying, God's going to judge you. God's going to flood the earth. Okay? And if they had listened to Noah, they would have gotten on that boat and been saved. So if they were a doer of the word, they would have been saved. But because they were a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, they were not saved. And you have many that flirt with Christianity, that desire something more in their life because God's made them to desire him, and they can't quite figure it out. But when they count the cost, they say, no, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't want to do that. And so then what happens? They are a hearer of the word and not a doer. And that is what? They're deceiving their own selves. They are falling into destruction. And I've got to do this. I hadn't planned it. But there is a verse in Jonah, and you know Jonah gets swallowed by a whale. He pretty much was a dead man walking, right? And he gets into the whale there, and he starts praying, right? In Jonah 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, okay? So he was disobedient to God. He had judgment come upon him. Oh, man, he's in the belly of the whale. He's seen death face to face. He's praying that God will save him now because he's worried for his own hide, right? And it says here, verse 8 of Jonah 2, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. How true is that? It's the same idea as we have here in James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So somebody over there in Noah's time was observing lying vanities. They were listening to the crowd saying, don't worry about that. That guy's a kook. He's been saying that for 100 years or hundreds of years, right? He's been saying that forever. You know, oh, supposedly God's going to do that. Well, he didn't do that then. I don't see any rain. Let's go have a good time. Let's be violent. Let's be sinful. Let's live as we want to live. Let's do what we want to do. Yet God was just waiting and waiting and waiting. And again, surely in God's mercy, he had given this message to his people through Noah. Maybe not in the same words, but basically the same message saying, believe me or perish, right? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If people really believe that, they wouldn't mess with sin, right? You know, a lot of people won't go skydiving because they're afraid the parachute won't work and they'll die, right? So they know that there's a risk in skydiving, but yet they'll go and gossip, and yet they'll go and lust after another, or yet they'll go and covet, yet they'll go do all of these sinful things thinking that they're free because they haven't yet faced a judgment, which again, biblically, they're not supposed to. The Bible says the Lord chastens whom he loves, amen? You know, basically the way the Bible is teaching us is that God is letting people run about for a season thinking they got away with it. And then every single word they've ever spoken will come under judgment, and they'll come under judgment. And at the time they come under judgment, it'll be too late because they've called God a liar, not through their words, but through their actions. So trust this message here in Genesis 7, that we are to have faith in God and that our obedience will be rewarded and be rewarded just so handsomely, which we'll get into the next episode, how handsomely God rewards the obedient. And our disobedience is rewarded with destruction, as we saw then, as we've seen throughout time, and as we'll see in the last days. So tune in next time as we get deeper into Genesis 7. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark at enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.